And our next case this morning is case number 101159, Michael Gage versus Michael Astrew. Ms. Hansen.
Good morning, and thanks for letting me be here. My name is Ellen Hansen, and I'm from Morris, Illinois. My client is Michael Gage.
Could you speak up a little bit, please?
This is a Social Security case, and it started out with Barbara Welch in Peoria. She denied the claimant. The attorney was Mr. Wilson. I then filed in U.S. District Court, and I was denied by Susan Cox. However, instead of taking a straight appeal to this court, I thought maybe I could go back to Judge Cox and get a different decision if I did a motion to alter, so I did. My mistake was not in getting it set for hearing, so it was dismissed, but I brought it back in front of Judge Cox, and Judge Cox substantively ruled on it on page 8-4 of my appendix. In that, even though she does a denial and she has a simple motion, she at the hearing said that she was substantively deciding the case.
You had consented, or your client had consented to the magistrate judge.
Yes.
And so this objection, whatever, wasn't normally with the magistrate judge, it's just going to send recommendation. She had the final say.
Right.
Now, maybe that caused some confusion.
Well, the confusion was that I read, and it said you could ask a judge to do an amendment or alter their decision, and
Rule 59?
Yes.
And you have, what, how much time to do that?
I had 10 days, and I filed in 10 days.
Yeah, that's after 2 months, though, wouldn't it?
Well, it wasn't heard for 2 months. But I filed within the time period, and I attached a memo of law to it. So I did meet the 10-day rule.
Yeah, maybe I'm confused. I thought that the original decision, there wasn't a notice of appeal.
I did not get it. There was a notice, but I did not get it set for a hearing on my motion.
No, when was it? The original decision that Judge Cox made?
The original decision was August 17th, and I filed within 10 days of that.
You filed a Rule 59 motion within 10 days of the original decision?
And I did make an error. I did not notice it for a motion hearing. It was dismissed, and then I brought it for a motion hearing. And at that motion hearing, Judge Cox said that even though I had what I should have done was had it for a hearing, but she says, I have looked substantively at the motion, regardless of whether it met the time frame provided for under the rules. Now, it did meet the time frame of the 10 days, and I did have the law with it. And she says, I don't believe that I'm in error, and we have considered this case very carefully as we do in all of these cases. I know how important disability payments are to people. I spent a lot of time on these. Therefore, considered and thought out and drafted, and I'm not inclined to change my mind in this case. So I believe she made a substantive ruling on my motion to alter. And therefore, within 60 days, I filed, based on that decision, I filed here in the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals Senate had a special group that considered whether I had filed properly. They restricted my appearance before you to that November 20th ruling. Therefore, because I had presented four arguments to Judge Cox, that is what I presented to you because I read it that she had opened and considered my motion. And so in my brief, I presented you the four arguments that I gave to her and that she considered. And the reason this... Yes.
Is that the original challenge that you filed to the judgment was styled as an objection.
Yes.
As if this were a proceeding before the magistrate without consent.
Well...
And it was a proceeding before the magistrate with consent. And so that...
I think that...
That was filed within the 10-day time limit for a Rule 59 motion was stricken. And then you filed sometime later, a couple months later, a motion to reinstate the objection, but now we're outside of the 10-day time limit, so at best that is construed as a Rule 60B motion, and that's governed by a very different standard of review. You don't get plenary review as you would with the Rule 59 motion, and that was the import of this court's order restricting the scope of this appeal.
Well,
that we're on Rule 60 here, and that's a very narrow review.
The Rule 59E does not say whether it applies to a magistrate judge or to a district court judge.
Right. The point is we can't consider that motion because it was, or that objection as a Rule 59 motion because it was stricken. And then a couple months later, you filed your motion to reinstate it. That was denied. And then you took your appeal from that denial. So at best, we can construe the motion for reinstatement as a Rule 60 motion. We can't construe it as a Rule 59 motion because it's outside the 10 days.
It was filed within the 10 days, but...
No, the November 9th motion wasn't filed within the 10 days because this judgment was entered on August 17th.
But
what was filed within 10 days is this objection, which was stricken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just gone. What we have here is an appeal from the magistrate judge's denial of your November 9th motion to reinstate. And despite the terminology, we can construe that as a Rule 60 motion, but then our review, the scope of our review is exceedingly narrow.
Well, I realize that, except she said that she substantively considered my arguments. And so that's what I'm trying to get you to do, is to look at the arguments that I made that she considered. She said that she looked at the whole thing and considered it, so that is why I appealed, because she did consider it. If she hadn't considered it, then I think I would not have an appeal. And I think I have the right to bring what she looked into.
No. This is at best, what you've got is Rule 60 review here. And that requires an abuse of discretion on the part of the magistrate judge in denying your motion. And that's the way this appeal should be argued, not as a plenary review of the merits. That was the import of our order.
Mm-hmm. Well, the it being stricken, but she considered it.
Right, but we review under the abuse of discretion standard of review for Rule 60 motions.
Right. So I'm saying, of course, that she did not.
Even though she may have given you more than you were entitled to, we're not going to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how did she abuse her discretion?
Oh, well, it was in the original decision, and I put 4 points in the original decision.
Okay, but how did she abuse her discretion in denying your November 9th motion? That's the scope of your review here.
She actually granted my motion is what she did, so I can't say that...
No, she didn't give you any relief.
No, she didn't give me relief, but she gave me time to have you all consider this on my filing under Section 72.
Was it based on a motion because of attorney mistake?
I'm sorry,
was it because of mistake?
I would say that I made a mistake.
And that's really not a basis for reversing.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but it isn't.
Well, you do have, does a mistake hurt the other side? Does it hurt the federal government? Does it hurt the people of Illinois and of the United States? So you are entitled to look at that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Christoff.
May it please the Court. Edward Christoff on behalf of Commissioner Astrew. I think the Court understands our position in the case. I don't want to belabor the point. But even today, Gage has not come forward with any rationale under which he can rationally argue that the District Court abused its discretion in denying his motion to reinstate the objections. That's the only issue before the Court today. Without any basis for granting the relief that he requests, the Court must affirm the judgment below. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Ms. Hansen, your time had expired, so we'll take the case under advisement. Our thanks to both counsel.